I will be able to hear your voice and only speak what you want me to say. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. So what I want to talk about today is, it's really three titles. One is an appointed time, the other is the goodness of God, and the other is God's favor. And all three of them are really amazing, and I hope that it touches your hearts and that you can really reflect on what I want to share. So Abram and Sarah, way back when, Abram was 100 years old, Sarah was 90, and they wanted to have children, and as we all know, Sarah couldn't have any children. And one day, the angel of the Lord and two other angels, the angel of the Lord we know was Messiah because of what he said and did and how he was pictured, came to Abram and Sarah, and they told Abram first that he was going to have a child through Sarah. And it says that he laughed. And then Sarah heard what was going on, and she laughed. But what I like about it is that in Genesis 10:14, it says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And he said, I will return to you at the appointed time. And at the appointed time, you'll have a son. So each one of us, I know, are going through all kinds of things, whether they be some really good things are happening right now. But primarily when I say go through all kinds of things, you automatically think of the things that are going wrong, or the things that you're struggling with, or the things that you're waiting on. I just want to encourage you that with God, there is an appointed time. And also, he doesn't bring us into something without having an appointed time out. Okay? You can clap once in a while. It's okay. It's not for me. It's for him. So they found favor with the Lord. And I'm going to talk about what they had to do to find favor with the Lord. But the best definition of the word favor is demonstrated delight. The favor of God can be described as tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. When we favor someone, we want to be with them, we delight in them, we connect with them in a way we don't connect with everyone. We usually favor people who also favor us. In the same way, God shows favor to the ones who delight in, connect with, and give honor to him. So I always pray every day for God's favor. Because if I'm going to ask for anything, that's really in that is everything I need. And, you know, sometimes the day doesn't go the way I expected, but I still pray for God's favor. Now, does that mean that God doesn't listen? No. And if I didn't pray, would it have been better? Probably not. So I pray for God's favor, and I try to delight in him during the course of the day. Not all day long, but as often as he reminds me of him. And to really just, when I'm driving down the road, look at the sky and just, God, you're just amazing. You know, I'm listening to something on the radio that just reminds me of his goodness. He wants that from us. And he delights in giving us favor. It's not like he regrets having to do it, or because you were so good, now I got to give you favor. You know, he's waiting to pour favor onto us. In Chronicles 16:9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, I know that I don't have a perfect heart as I measure it. But he said he gave me a new heart, a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. And he wrote his laws and commandments on my heart. So as far as he's concerned, my heart is perfect toward him. And that's all I care about. It may not be perfect towards you. It may not be perfect toward my wife all the time. It may not be perfect toward me. But as far as he's concerned, it's perfect towards him. And therefore, I qualify because he loves me for his favor. Isaiah says, there are ones I look on with favor, those who are humble, contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word, which is a scripture verse that Dean just shared with us. And contrite is just like almost repentant, or really realizing who God is And I love the saying, there is a God and it's not me. You know, who God is, sometimes we think we're God and we try to orchestrate the situations around us, but those who are repentant, those who really see the awesomeness of who God is, that's contrite. And when you realize who he is, that it's him and it's not us, you know, you can't help but be humble if you really realize who he is. No matter what we've gone through, and we all have gone through anything you can imagine, each one of us in this room has been through hell. And God has been with us, it says in Psalms, even there he will be with us and takes us out. So to be perfect toward him means we seek his favor, then we seek the favor of, more than we seek the favor of anyone else, if even of ourselves. Another way of looking at favor too is you can't be praying for favor and expecting God's favor if you don't have faith. And we all know, and Ephesians says it, that by faith we have been saved through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it was the gift of God. So faith is really, really powerful as far as an ingredient to be able to walk the walk that God wants us to and to be able to receive the favor that God wants to give us. Because the Bible also says that they that seek God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you didn't believe in a God or believe in God or believe God can do all that he says he can do, then how could you have faith? Now, just because we don't necessarily see it doesn't mean we shouldn't still believe it. I mean, there's so many things that we do every day that we can't explain or understand, and we take it on faith. But as soon as you start talking about spiritual things, well, I don't know if I believe that. You know, well, the book is just a book. But the reality of it is, there is a God, it's not us. He created everything, and he has a plan for our lives. He's not off in some distant land letting us play out our lives on our own and see how the cards fall. He's intimately involved with each one of us. And to the degree we can, you know, acknowledge him and give him favor in our lives, and he can give favor back, is the degree we're going to have a reasonably happy life. And we can live happy, joyous, and free. Those who have faith in God's Son are declared righteous. And Dean, in a very short period of time, gave an incredible gospel message. It's not by works. It's not by sacrifice. It's not by any of those things that we are found righteous before God. Just like Abraham was considered righteous. What did Abraham do that God counted it towards him as righteous? If you read the scripture verse, what he did was, God said, look at the sky, count the stars, that's how many descendants you're going to have. Look at the sand on the seashore, that's how many descendants you're going to have. His response was, I believe that. He was counted righteous. He didn't question it. God said he believed him. And by believing him, God counted him righteous. We believe Messiah came, died for our sins, took our place, gave us his righteousness, took our sin, paid the price, and God says, because you believe that, I'll count you righteous too. It's not that difficult. We make it difficult. God can't be that nice, you know. He can't be that easy. He's not that easy. Dean again said it. The price that was paid was very, very, very high. I mean, how many parents in the room would go to their next door neighbor, whoever they may be, and you may not even know their names because we don't talk to our neighbors that often anymore, would go to that neighbor and say, by the way, my son is going to die for you. I said it's okay. How many of us would let our sons die for the next door neighbor? But that's what God did. I mean, you talk about ultimate sacrifice and ultimate love, because, by the way, the neighbor next door happens to be also a drug addict, a thief, a drunk, a liar. All of those characteristics. And God says, that's the ones that I'm going to let him come down to earth and be their sin so that they can have his righteousness. He who is without sin died for us. So we tend to view God's faithfulness by what we're going through. We can't use our situation to judge God. Our circumstances change, but God never changes. So, for example, the story about John the Baptist. And I've got my Bible right here. So if I can find it really quickly. Okay, so John the Baptist. John, we don't know how many times John spoke to Yeshua during their lifetime. All we know is that when John saw Yeshua for the first time, he leapt in his mother's womb. The next time we see him, he's at the River Jordan baptizing. And as he's baptizing, John sees him coming. He says, "This is the one I've been talking about. This is the one the prophets have been talking about." And as he baptized Yeshua, the heavens opened, and he heard the voice of God as a thunder saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So you got to know that between those two folks, Yeshua and John, they knew exactly who each other was and what was going on. But circumstances changed, and John finds himself in prison. And circumstances change for us. We have a great day at synagogue or a great day with the Lord, and the end of the day or the next morning we get a phone call, we hear bad news, a doctor's report comes in, a new manager comes in at the job, you're changing your relationships, somebody leaves you, whatever those things are, all of a sudden the circumstances change, and where is God? And John says, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Now, he knew who he was. He heard God Almighty from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." But the circumstances changed. John's in prison. Well, maybe he wasn't the right guy. Now, I don't know if I'm sure. Am I really believing what I'm supposed to be believing? And Yeshua said, as they departed, Yeshua answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Not offended because of me. I don't like the translation necessarily, but that's pretty much what was across the board. What he's saying is that John was like, you know, he may not be the right one. I wasted my time. You know, how do I know for sure? I'm in prison now, and I was just trying to baptize people and tell them the good news. Same thing with us. When those trials and tribulations come, and we just say, "God, are you really there? You know, am I really believing the right thing?" Our circumstances don't change God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His favor is for us. His love is for us. He has a plan for us. Romans 4:5 says, "And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteous." Philippians 3:9, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from through faith in Messiah, the righteous from God that depends on faith." Righteousness from God that depends on faith. God seeks out those who love him and love his commands so that he can bless, guide, and protect them. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." Now, it could be when he delights in his way, God's way, or it can mean he delights in his way. In other words, if I'm going through a really bad time, whether it's a bad doctor's report, or again, you know, something happening at work, or a relationship breaks up, if I am going to delight in my way, because I know God is in control and this is where he has me, God sees that I am trusting him, not the circumstances around me. I'm delighting in his ways. His ways are what he has for me today. Now, by the way, just for the record, do I walk what I'm telling you? Okay? My wife will tell you for sure, yes. No. But is it still truth? Absolutely. And the more we can let that truth permeate us and live it, you know, one day at a time, one incident at a time. You know, when we get, I just went through some surgery and stuff like that, and some parts of it was really painful. And I know people in the synagogue that are going through a lot worse. And I almost had to say to myself, "Bob, what you're going through is nothing compared to what some of the other folks in the synagogue are going through." But for me, it was really, and I had to say, "God, just, I almost want to say, are you there? I'm praying, I'm asking, but I'm not." But you see, Yeshua said that if he who believes in me, he will never die. Now, we know that people die. Was Yeshua like confused on what death really means? Did he not know the difference between death and life? Except that with him, he always talks to our spirit man. Okay? Our spirit man will never die. The flesh is going to fall off. If it falls off at 40 or 90, it doesn't matter. It's going to fall off at some point in time. I may want it to go to 90. I may not want it to go to 90. You know? Like Bruce and I were talking, we got those parts having to get replaced all the time. I mean, you know, by that time I have really, really good parts, but I have no brain. No, but the thing is that our trust is really in God. And there's no separation with God once we become righteous by his righteousness. You know, and you know, we want to have a good life and a long life and all that that means. But when our trust is in him, and we know that he said, though you that you'll never die if you believe in me, that he's trying to tell us that it's eternity that matters. It's not the next 20 years. It's not missing out on this, being able to see this or that happen because, you know, something's going to happen. It's not. It's he's in control. He knows every aspect of our lives, everything that's important. And he never does anything that's not going to be for our overall well-being. He's a good father.
Amen.
The steps of a man are established by the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That scripture verse there is one of my favorites as well. I'm sure all of you know it. And so many times I'm going into an appointment or I'm going to talk to someone on the phone or I'm starting out my day and I just say, Lord, I just acknowledge you in a situation. When I was coming up here, Lord, I just thank you that you're in control. I acknowledge you in a situation. It's just recognizing that he's there, that he's a part of it, that he's involved in my life. He's such a gentleman. This does not mean that everyone who is prosperous or healthy has found favor with God. Jeremiah 12:1 says, righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? And why do all the treacherous thrive? How many of us have said that? Not as eloquently, but I can't believe that bum is doing so well. You know? We and by the way, the good news is that we can go to the King of the universe, the creator of all things, and talk to him like that and be honest with him. He's okay with that. I'll tell you something really funny story. My mom, she grew up Catholic her whole life, became a believer, and then became Messianic way into her 70s. So she says Jesus as his name all the time. Now she knows his name is really Yeshua. And she wants to say Yeshua. So one day she was praying. She says, Yeshua, I keep saying Jesus. Do you mind? He says, no, the whole world calls me that. So you can talk to him and tell him what's on your mind. And like, why does the treacherous thrive? Psalms 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. We're not to compare our lives with other people. God doesn't compare us with other people. He compares us with who he created us to be. And he created us to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's our charge. And in so doing, if you are the son and daughter of the Most High God, what you do is you brag on your Most High God Father.
Amen.
Okay? That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. And everything else takes care of itself. The story of Lazarus, I'm going to find it here real quick, I think. Maybe I won't. I'm sorry, guys. Technology. There's a Bible. Lazarus is an interesting story. And what I want to focus on really is two words in the story of Lazarus. As you know, Yeshua was told that Lazarus was sick and dying. He waited 4 days. Then he finally went to see Martha and Mary, and he was already dead 4 days. And Martha came out to see him, and she said, my brother is dead. Had you been here, he would still be alive. And then she says the key words. But even now, you can make a difference. No matter what we're going through, God's appointed time is always and even now faith. No matter what we're going through, God, even now, you can help me with this sickness or illness. God, even now you can restore my children back to the faith. That even now faith that Martha had because she knew who Yeshua was. No matter what the circumstances that were going on around her, she had that even now faith. And we can have the same. God's appointed time. This is just interesting. I saw it in Exodus. We just finished the book of Exodus. He's talking about the different plagues, but God will draw a sharp line between the livestock of Israel and the livestock stock of Egypt. Not one animal that belongs to the Israelites will die. Chapter 9, verse 5. Then God set the time. Tomorrow, God will do this thing. God always has an appointed time. We don't necessarily know it. My wife firmly believes it's 11:59. But for God, it's always on time. It's not last minute with God. It's first minute with God. Because he knows exactly when he's supposed to do something. He knows when it's going to be the best time for us. Another phrase I love is inches and seconds. How many of us, if we had a chance to sit down with the Lord and have him show us our lives, how many times because of inches and seconds we were spared some tragedy?
Amen.
Inches and seconds. I mean, I think when he shows us that, we're going to be in awe of how good he was to us. Way before we gave our lives to him, by the way. He didn't wait for us to become believers and say, okay, now I'm going to protect you. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He had a plan for us from before that to carry out. And the inches and seconds have always been God's plan for our lives. Nor does it mean that those whom the Lord favors will never suffer difficulties. I heard a story about a pastor's wife in the late 70s, early 80s, was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer. It was so bad that they told her she had 2 to 3 weeks to live, that she should really take care of her final plans and whatever she needed to do. Her and her husband, they were both, like I said, pastors, they made sure that they didn't listen to that doctor. And they claimed all of God's promises. And every day she would recite the promises of God, just so she can hear them and she can remind God, because God says, remind me. Not because he's forgetful. He just wants to know how committed you are. You know, like my kids can come when they're little, come up to us, and it would be more to Patty because she was home all the time. I was always on the road. And they asked for something. If they asked for it 18 to 20 times, she knew they were serious. If they just came in because they saw it on TV and they wanted it, she would discount it and go away. It's kind of the same thing with us and God. I'm not saying that he doesn't care. We have to come to 18 and beg. The point I'm making, he says, remind me. So she had scripture verses up. She listened to Christian tapes and Bible teachings and all of this. And she's still alive, by the way. Okay? Now, just as an aside, her husband, 15, 20 years later, developed kidney failure and ended up dying of kidney disease. He went through dialysis and all this other stuff. So now, all of you in the room that are fighting some kind of sickness or illness, you're going to identify with the guy who died. That's our human nature. Yeah, but the one who, he died, and she, you know, you almost forget the story that she's still alive 38 years later. Why one and when, why not the other? I have no idea. But I know the sovereignty of God. Now, just to make it a little more personal, the two people I'm talking about was Dodie Osteen and her husband John. She's still alive after 38 years, and he passed away in 1999. Now, him passing away caused Joel to be able to take over the church. Whether you like Joel or not, I really don't care. All I know is if I'm in business, I look at results. And what he's done with the church. And he never taught before. Actually, the first time he ever preached was a week before his father died, not knowing his father was going to die that next week. What I'm saying to you is that God has a plan, and God gives us favor. And no matter what happens, it's not going to interfere with his plan, and it's not going to make his plan bad. God's plan is always good.
All the time.
All the time. Thank you, Harry. Many people in the Bible had the Lord's favor, and they also suffered hardship. Moses killed a man and was driven out of his country and family, away from his country and family. He spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. Now, also about this, I never killed anybody. I was never in the service in the military. And I think in the service in the military, if you end up having to kill the enemy, you could kind of live with it. Although we all know what the military soldiers are going through, they've been through that. But what he did was just murder somebody because he was beating up another Israeli. And he had to live with that guilt. And then he meets God, knowing what he did. I mean, he had to go through a lot with just with that issue happening in his life. And then being torn away from his mother and family when he was a little baby, even though his mother got to nurse him, doesn't mean she was there for the rest of his life. So, I mean, he went through a whole lot of stuff. We all go through, with the point I'm making, we all go through a lot. Joseph, we all know the stories of Joseph. Remarkable Bible character. And that from the time he was a little boy, God gave him a vision and a dream and he held on to it and didn't let it go and was relentless and just kept believing and kept moving and kept believing and kept moving. He never let it go. That tenacity of believing what God tells you is what made Joseph such a great man. Probably one of the greatest examples of faith in God through prison and being thrown in a pit and being sold by his family. And I mean, 13 years in those jails was not like the jails we have today. Okay, there was not TV, there was not basketball courts, weightlifting. I'm serious, if you think about the kind of jail he was in for 13 years, and he was promised by God a certain life that was, he was going to be have his brothers bow down to him that sold him, and he stuck with it. Examples for us to do the same. And Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, a young girl. In our society, a young girl, 16, getting married, having a baby, is not as not a big issue. In fact, and I say this very with heartache, is 16-year-old girls that are pregnant and end up having abortions. Okay, for many reasons, none of which are probably justifiable, and having to live with all that. Miriam is pregnant in that time. When stoning, and by stoning doesn't mean you go, that's not stoning. Okay? Just want to see who nods and laughs. I know nobody inhaled, okay? I didn't either. But when you were stoned, I mean, they were throwing, you know, really heavy rocks that would, you know, break your arms, cave in your chest, break your skull, and they just kept doing it. That's what she was facing. And she was told by the angel that you are highly favored of God. So the things we go through, and being, she was called highly favored of God, knowing that she had to live with that, and how is it going to play out? We're reading the story. We know how it played out. Be in the story. How is it going to play out? Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, "But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in affliction, hardships, and calamities." In Acts, "strengthening the souls of the disciples, encourage them to continue the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." All the Lord is trying to say to us is life is really tough. I sent my son. He went through a really tough life. Forgetting the crucifixion yet, just all that he went through. The kind of person he was and how he was threatened and chased and the Pharisees. And I mean, what he knew and what he was facing. And then the crucifixion. And all that meant. So, God's favor is always for us. God would really rather have us just move along life without any issues. But he knows if we have no issues, we're going to be weak. We're not going to be strong. Each one of us can look back on the things God brought us through, whether it be alcoholism or drugs or a bad divorce or a child that was killed, whatever it may be. And we all, if we stuck with God and we put our trust and faith in him, we all can look back and say it was the most horrible thing I ever went through. But if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. Amen. And that's my prayer and that's my comment. Thank you very much. God bless you.